As a side note, I was listening to Beth Moore on a podcast today, and she made the most amount of background noise I've ever heard on a podcast.
Oh, no.
I think it sounded like she was wearing like 12 bracelets and gesturing with her arms the whole time. It was like what someone was shaking a maraca, like,
to the mic.
But Beth Moore is perfect, so it's fine.
Hi, I'm Richard Clark.
And I'm Bethany Perkins.
We can't stop talking about the Enneagram.
So we decided to start a podcast where we get it all out of our system.
We're not experts.
We're just obsessed.
It's No Chill Enneagram.
A safe space for Enneagram fanatics.
And a really dumb idea for a podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode. I am here, as usual, with Bethany Perkins. Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Richard.
You had a good day today?
It was a day.
Should I not reference the time you cried at work?
I mean, it's fine. Okay. People can know I cried at work. That's okay. All right.
But wasn't a super bad cry, right? It was like a cathartic cry.
It was a cathartic cry that continued into my car away from the people that turned into a super bad cry. But now I feel better.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sorry that you had to cry to feel better.
Thank you. It's okay.
We have a very special guest today. You know our last episode, and it's stuck in my brain, so I have to address it. Instead of very special episode, I said...
A special
very episode. And I'm so mad at you for not stopping
I laughed at you when you said that, if that counts.
I know you laughed, but I didn't realize what you were laughing at.
I'm sorry.
It was
okay.
Too late.
I will be anyway, more ruthlessly critical of you in the moment.
Well, today is not a very special episode, but we do have a special very guest, Shannon Whitehead. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, Shannon, you are a number what?
5.
So I bet you guys thought it would never happen that we would finally get to 5. Because we've had like 3 dodges after our 4 episode. But we finally got to it. And it was so funny, like Bethany and I, as we're planning, we've been like having a heck of a time scheduling people. And we were like, if we don't get to 5 soon, we're going to get like our heads are going to be on sticks.
Yeah, there will be a mutiny.
Yeah,
we've been all the 5s were gonna write open letters, very long.
Yes,
myself included.
They like, and the funny thing is, I bet 5s are just like trying, like digging into all of our social media accounts and stuff, look like, and our comments and our replies to people for any sign that it's coming anytime soon.
Right, they might have seen our Twitter combo.
Oh, that's true. Maybe that's why they're not killing us yet.
Yeah.
They knew
their time was coming.
Awesome. Well, Shannon, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us, like, briefly a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, all of that.
Cool. Well, I work in content, so I work with all of the words. It's great.
Every word.
Every I want them to all one. Either be written by me or something of that nature. It's awesome. I'm originally from North Carolina, which you will probably hear. I forgot about that with the whole podcast thing. I'm like, everybody is going to hear the Eastern North Carolina in my voice.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. Awesome. I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area now. So,
very cool.
Which is very recent.
I'm a big Atlanta fan. I'd love to live there one day. Yeah.
Yes, it's Atlanta. A lot of fun.
I grew up 3 hours south of Atlanta in Alabama, and that was the big city. It was a big deal. I went to a lot of concerts and mosh pits in Atlanta. Yes.
I love that. That's a very southern thing to say, like we're going into the city, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, before we get really down to it, we're going to type reviews. I think it's important for us to do that because here's the deal. We need you guys to review the show. Bethany, we haven't gotten a lot of reviews lately, and it's made me feel bad inside. Heck?
Yeah, me too.
So come on, guys. Wake up.
Wake up.
Review our show, please.
Yeah.
And then we'll type you, and it'll be fun. And you might even get someone like Shannon Whitehead to participate.
Mm-hmm. I should go leave a review, speaking of participating. I should go leave one.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah. Good idea. Here, go ahead. We'll wait.
It'd be funny if I did it under, like, a fake name. It's like that, you know, country bumpkin y'all had up there. That five y'all should have.
Now you literally have to do that. So, Bethany, why don't you start with the first one? Good stuff.
Good stuff. Okay. 10 out of 10 recommend. Praise hands. Funny. Witty. A safe space for people who have gone too far down the Enneagram rabbit hole. I appreciate how the hosts combine humor with genuinely good content. Thank you so much. Integrating opportunities for growth with an overall fun listening experience. I've also never felt more like a 2 since listening to the 2 episode. I think there are 2. Thanks for talking about the nuances of our 2-ness that aren't always represented in type descriptions. You're welcome, MTizzle509.
All right. Well, this next review puts a lot of pressure on us. It's titled Overflowing Enthusiasm That I Hope Is Reciprocated.
Oh, so this is the amazing one that we talked about with the 9 points.
Oh, yeah, we have talked number. About this.
However, we need to revisit it because when we talked about it before, we said 9 or 5. You know, like we always say.
Yeah, 9 or 5. Yeah, one of those. I think we said 9 because they merge.
Yeah, and she responded on Twitter and was like, nope, try again. But she said that she has a 3 wing. So I am confident. I think she's a 2.
I think it's 2, too, because the 2 really connected with me. The number 2 says, you will be encouraged to help others find their number and unlock deep potential truth in their lives. However, you will cringe every time they say it's a dumb idea for a podcast because you know it's not. It's a smart idea for a podcast. And you need them to recognize the greatness in themselves so they can believe in themselves and change the world. That made me
feel things. It made me feel so good. And the title, it says that I hope is reciprocated, and 2s are all about, like, reciprocation.
Good point.
So very we nailed it. You're a 2. Sorry we got it wrong the first time.
All right. The next one is titled They Break the Rules. It's by Steph Photo 11. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Enneagram, I am definitely no chill. I love this fun and lighthearted take. They can laugh at themselves. They can laugh at you. That's true. And I love how they break the rules in typing things and ranking the numbers. Sometimes we just need to have fun and break the rules. Yes. Type me.
Okay, who's obsessed with breaking rules?
7. Right? Shannon, you agree?
Yeah, I was going to guess either 7 or maybe even 6.
Oh.
For this one.
6.
Counterphobic 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, screw you, I'm breaking the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Bethany, what's the next
good one? Job from Holly.
Thanks.
5 Pumpkins.
Love it.
Yes. Thank you for offering such a fun and lighthearted perspective on the Enneagram. I'm obsessed too. To be honest, I'm only giving you a review because I want you to type me. Don't check Twitter because I already mentioned it. Keep doing what you're doing.
I don't remember. We don't remember Twitter,
don't remember.
So we definitely check it all the time, but we don't remember it.
Yeah, so not much to work with here.
Well, they unequivocally said good job, so they're not a 1.
Right.
I was going to throw out 9.
No. Could be 9. Could be. Why do you say 9?
They were just so pleasant. I don't know.
Yeah, it is pleasant.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, it makes me feel just at peace around this
review. That's good.
Review.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
You're a 9.
Okay.
Send us your tweet to let us know if we did it right. Last one. Type me, I dare you. 5 stars from Ratro33. Ratro 33?
I'm going to say Ratro. Yeah.
Okay. Like Scooby-Doo saying, Rachel. Ratro.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys rock. Thanks for bringing levity and humility to an awesome tool that we can sometimes get a little wonky. Your fresh perspective and humor is really welcome. Keep them coming. Also, would be cool if you guys did guys and girls of the same type in the same episode to compare notes. I don't know about that one. My one-year-old loves your rad tunes. Oh, love the yes. 80s vibes. Shout out to Lee Rosevere, the podcast music guy extraordinaire, who you will hear on every podcast in the world. Because he just makes music for podcasts. Like, literally, I think that's the name of his albums.
Music for podcasts?
Volume 1 through, like, 47 or whatever.
That's great. It's a cool job.
Yeah, no kidding. I dare you to type me. That feels like an 8.
I'm thinking, like, that feels like an 8 or a 7.
And they're trying to tell us what to do.
Oh, yeah.
So they're an
8. Not a 9 wing.
No.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
They're an 8.
That's an 8 in my
opinion. Yeah, all right. Strong 8 vibes there.
Retro.
All right. So, Shannon Whitehead, you know the question we're about to ask you. How bad has it gotten? How bad is your obsession with the Enneagram?
It has gotten so bad that when you ask me what I do, instead of saying content director for Churchill, I was thinking, I talk about the Enneagram all day with my coworkers. Mm-hmm. That's my job.
Yes.
what do you do from 9 to 5? I talk about the Enneagram, and I type my coworkers. That's what I do.
And your boss is like, this is not in your job description.
Yeah, it is. It is banned. No more Ennea talk. I mean, I've definitely tried. That was my whole, every time I read an Enneagram book, which is very five-ish, I'm sitting there trying to like type everyone in my life.
Oh, yeah.
So I have like a so I have like a formula for them,
ooh,
you know? So that's probably why I like
the Enneagram.
Wait,
you have a secret typing formula?
No, I just like having a formula for people, which sounds super terrible, and I know it's not healthy, but like that's probably a 5 indication because we want to understand everything, you know? And so
you
want to
make a science
me,
out of it.
Right. It gives me like a shape for people. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of know, which you can't put everyone into like a little box or whatever, I guess. But
I want to know concretely what this looks like. So you have formulas for each number, basically, like how to interact with them?
Sort of, or at least that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. That's my goal.
You're going
to
win a Nobel Peace Prize if you keep up with this.
For Enneagramming? Like that would be great.
Yeah, you should, for like sitting down and writing out, when this number with this wing is mad at you, this is what to say to them.
Right. Like, don't blame them or fives. Don't cut them out of your life. It was just their 2 wing for a while. Just leave it alone. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
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 Man, that would be cool.
So, yes. That's a book idea. Enneagram formulas.
Yes.
Just like a math textbook, but with Enneagram stuff.
That is amazing.
Except, yes, exactly. Except that I hate math. But these are the numbers that I am okay with.
Yeah, these are the
that,
only.
Give me all the work.
These are the only numbers that matter, honestly.
Cool. Well, that was how bad has it gotten. It sounds like it's gotten pretty bad, Shannon. please don't lose your job.
Yeah.
No, I do work things as well sometimes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
us too.
All right. What's your wing again?
6.
6. So that probably helps you better at work than a 4 wing.
Right. I would think. A 4 would just keep talking about it probably.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm serving a unique role here.
Right. My unique role is to type everyone. You're welcome.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, you don't love me anymore. Okay, so the next segment we have is called Are Fives Always Right?
Yes, next segment.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, all the fives I know like truly believe that and tell me often that they're always right.
So the theory here is, no, you don't understand. We've done the research.
Yes.
Right.
Is this your experience, Shannon?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I've had some friends where I have to convince them that if I said no to something, like my yes is yes and my no is no. And if I say no, you can trust that I have thought about it for a very long time and I have done the research and I have come to an informed decision for why I'm saying yes or why I'm saying no. And so it's like, how are you telling me that I'm wrong here? Because I just don't understand. I am honestly confused. like, where's your research? You know?
This reminds me, I remember in high school, for some reason, this flashed into my brain. I just suddenly remembered telling people, of course I'm not wrong. Like, if I felt out, like someone was telling me I should be open to being wrong, and I was like, why would I do that? if I say something is right, I'm not, like, I wouldn't say that if I thought it might be wrong. Like, right. That doesn't make any sense to
me.
Oh,
gosh. I do this really cute thing where I'll say, like, oh, you know, or I could be wrong. Like, I'm open to being wrong. You know, it's totally fine. I'm like, no, that's I'm lying.
Yeah.
I'm not blatantly lying. I'm like, I probably think, like, oh, I am open to being wrong here. But, no, I'm like, I am pretty firm in what I said.
Yeah. I do trust, like, the fives in my life very much. I think they've 9 times out of 10 done more research on it than I have.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I'm sure we fives love to be trusted, mm-hmm. too. So it's like, take my word for it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, well, at least, no, for me, fives at work probably love to be trusted with what they've been given, you know? So it's kind of like, tell me what you want done, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it well.
Yes.
And just trust me with, you know, trust that I'm going to do it well.
And the irony here is fives don't always trust people.
Right, which is funny. Hypocrite vibes.
Well, it's fair enough because you know that not everyone approaches things with the diligence.
Maybe so, yeah.
Competency that right. you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diligence is definitely a good word. And competency is hard for me too, because most of the time if I don't trust someone with something, or someone criticizes me with something, which I know is something that we should all work on, but I'll think like, oh, okay, well, how competent do I feel like this person is? Right. How diligent have they been in like what they're actually trying to tell me to do kind of thing? So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, it sounds like you really need to delegate some things to us.
Yes.
To do something. I'm sure that we have earned your trust over the last several episodes of this podcast.
I'm sure of it.
So we've come up with a nice segment for you. And this is in reference to the fact that fives tend to have a hard time making decisions. Is that your experience, Shannon?
I think normally when I have a hard time making a decision, it's because I'm too busy trying to make sure I make the right decision.
Yes.
Not because I necessarily think I'm going to, I don't know. Like, I guess I get stuck in the research phase, mm-hmm. which sounds pretty yeah. obvious. Like I haven't made a decision because I've been weighing my options for a month.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's what we mean.
So it sounds like you have a need.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So this name of this segment is called Let Us Make Some Decisions For You.
Ay, ay, ay.
Here's how we do this segment. You tell us some decisions you're trying to make, and we're just going to make them yep. for you. It's going to be easy.
Okay.
We'll even like do show our work so you know that we've been diligent, but we're happy to just like make the decision and move mm-hmm. on, as opposed to maybe how a five would.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, off the top of my head, which is the least five thing I could say, off the top of my head is very hard for me.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about having a self-instituted book buying ban, because not banned, like a boy band, but banned. Like I'm banning myself from buying books.
Yeah.
A book band is a great idea. A book boy band is a really
That's excellent.
Good idea.
So in this time, I have gotten a book idea and a band idea. This is great. but I was looking at all the ridiculous amount of books that I bought in the past few months, mm-hmm. and I was organizing them and thinking, okay, well, I'll just go through the end of September. But now I'm thinking, maybe I should do longer and not tell anyone, because I enjoy not telling people things. And also because it kind of makes me feel like if I only do like a month and don't tell anyone, well, it's on a podcast now, so I guess obsolete.
Yeah.
And I don't feel as incompetent here. Like, oh, okay, uh-huh. well, maybe I've been irresponsible and I should probably chill out here with buying the books. But mm-hmm. I don't know.
I feel like I just got a glimpse into a five mind in a way that really warped my ability to make this decision.
How so?
Because the way you framed that was not binary at all. It was very much like, you started it like I'm trying to decide whether to do this thing, and then it became.
But maybe longer, and degrees. Do I tell yeah. anyone that I'm doing this?
It's kind of like, should I? Because it's almost like if you admit gosh. You have a problem, then you probably have a problem. So if I don't say anything and maybe just I don't know, and just like do it for a month low key.
Okay.
I'll feel all better right. about myself.
So this is really a series of decisions. That's the first thing to identify.
Yeah.
I guess five faces a series of high stakes decisions that they're this is the problem is if I'm a four, I would just go, I'm going to do a book ban. And then I would like start to do it. And then in the middle, I'd be like, wait, how long is this going to be? And also, I would blurt it out on Twitter as opposed to thinking at all about who should know or not know. But fives are like thinking of every implication of every decision. Fascinating. Yeah. All right, Bethany, please make all those decisions.
Okay, I can. It's easy. Yes, you should extend it longer than a month. Because it sounds like a month isn't going to be that much of a challenge for you.
Probably not.
Yeah, you can do a month. Mm,
yeah, you want to stretch yourself.
Yeah. What if, it's September. So what if you did not buy any new books until the end of the year?
I was afraid you were going to say that.
And then it can be like, it'll be like, you've waited so long. Happy New Year's to me. Buy a bunch more books.
Or Merry Christmas.
Or Merry Christmas. Yeah, yeah. That too.
Yeah, Christmas
That's
is
close
good.
Enough
Christmas
to the end of the year.
That is terrifying.
And then as for should you tell anyone, yes. Just automatically, like, should a five tell something to someone else? Yes, they should.
Oh, good point.
Really?
Good
point. Yes.
Yeah, that's put that in your formula. Yeah.
Five should tell other people things, even if it doesn't seem necessary to you. It may be to other people to know what's going on with
goodness.
You.
I feel like all the fives listening are cringing right now. Our formula is normally like, okay, should I talk to someone about this? No, I should think about it for 3 months is what I should
just
do.
Just internally, not even...
I should write it down. I should do a research paper.
Yes. So, yeah.
Do you have any other decisions you're trying to make?
That one has been on my mind for a long time, so that one just came off the top of my head.
I feel like we solved it for you, too. So I'm feeling good about this. I have an idea. What's a decision you have to make tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, in a shallow way, like my first decision is always what's the best outfit for today.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like I told you about my brief, I'm going to take this one.
My brief stint in fashion merchandising.
Oh, yeah. Because
I do everything according to my mood. Like my books, like a lot of my reading friends, they have a TBR, like a to-be-read list. I don't do lists. Like, I read whatever I feel like reading. So if I finish something and I'm like, I don't have the brain, like the capacity, I'm not in the mood for this, I'll choose something completely out of left field that I wasn't planning on reading. And I do the same thing when I get dressed in the morning. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really feeling today, so let's go with all black or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, tomorrow I just need to be very productive, and I'm not really sure what I want to look like tomorrow.
All right, perfect. I've got it. Okay. I want you to wear an all-white, like, business suit.
That was a very casual office, Richard. Yeah. And it's like, it's so funny because it's right after Labor Day, too. I mean,
yeah,
that
that's the idea.
I know, that's, which is hilarious.
Who even
not
owns
that we care about
that?
Rules.
Like,
right, I'm going to have to go shopping after this.
Yeah. That's fine. I made that decision for you, too, what to do after this podcast.
We can compromise on lighter colors.
Yeah, we're lighter covers.
Something
colors.
Lighter.
That works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll feel like more light and airy and productive tomorrow if I don't go in there looking like gloom and doom.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think here's the thing we learned, right? We sort of like vacuumed the stakes out of these decisions is how what I feel like we did. Like,
right.
It doesn't matter so much. Just let someone else make the decision for you.
That does make sense. I hadn't thought about that. There are a lot of stakes when it comes to my decisions. You know, like some people will say things to me like, you know, don't make a mountain out of a molehill, or, you know, that's not a hill to die on. And I'm like, no, I want all the hills. Like, oh, no, this is going to be, this is not a molehill. Like, this is they're all mountains. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. I think you'll get away with white. It'll be fine.
Oh, goodness.
Our next segment is called What Weird Stuff Are You an Expert On? Fives tend to be experts on weird stuff. What weird stuff are you an expert on?
I probably should have phoned a friend for this one, because I'm sure that there are a lot of things, but I don't think they're weird because they're just like my thing. But the first thing I thought of was how I used to know random facts when I was a child. I guess this is a glimpse into like a five childhood. And I would be working on something and my dad would say, like, how do you know all these things about Alicia Keys? Like, I'm just like spewing off facts, like random facts about Alicia Keys. He's like, are you working on something for school? And I'm like, no, I'm working on a report. And I had like a whole presentation on Alicia Keys where I had done like this, all this research on her and like people, just random idols that I would have. Like I did Layla Ali, and Alicia Keys. And I think there was probably one more, like Ashanti or someone random. And I would just do like a report on them. And I was like 10 or something. And I would just be spewing off random facts about these idols that I had. And everybody's asking me, is like, is this due on Monday? Or it's like, no, this is for fun. What do you mean?
That is amazing.
Yeah, see, I was going to.
That was my first thought.
I was going to ask, like, maybe not being an expert on a weird thing, but are you like a super fan of anything? Because I ask because one of my like good five friends in particular, she's not necessarily like an expert on anything like weird or out of left field, but she just is, she goes all in when she really likes something or like is a fan of it. And so like if you ask her anything about like Hamilton the musical or like the McElroy brothers or something, like she just knows because she's just like a hardcore fan. So
I would say that's definitely accurate. I'm like that with everything because I can't just like something. And sometimes I'll go through phases where I like, I really like it, and so I'm gonna collect all the things. And so like with books, I don't just like books and have like a reasonable number of books like most people have. Like I'm going to the book festival and I want to go get a signed copy, and every time an author comes anywhere near Atlanta, I'm gonna try to go and get my book signed and all these kind of things. And then let's see what else. Oh, like we were talking about earlier with podcasts, like at one point I went through a phase where I was really into podcasts, and like I told you, I looked it up and I'm subscribed to 61 podcasts. And so I definitely like, I'll get a knack for something and I really like it and I have to, I want a lot of it. Or like colorful shoes, or like right now I'm into statement earrings. And so every time I turn around, I'm buying a new pair of statement earrings. And so it's just like, when did I start wearing earrings that were bigger than a stud? It's just funny because that's what I'm into right now. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just keep buying, I just keep getting that one thing, so I can't just like it. I have to go all out. So like, I don't just want the book, I want to meet the author, and I want to go to the book signing too. So
One thing you mentioned that you are super into is crime documentaries.
That's true.
So we wanted to do crime documentary recommendations for every type. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. We asked you to, we allowed you to prepare a little bit for this one.
Yes, I appreciate that because preparation is my middle name.
Yeah. So.
I feel like crime docs are having a moment. They are. And
it's true.
And I for whatever reason, and I'm like just giving myself to them. I'm like, I don't know if it's good or beautiful or true, but it's happening to me.
Okay, well, that's so good because everyone always makes me feel like I'm crazy and destined to become a serial killer when I tell them what I watch. So I'm like, I just can't. I tried to watch other things on Netflix. I really, really did. And nothing would keep my attention as much. And so I have to keep finding more crime docs to watch. That's all I care about. So
okay, let's do it. Number one.
All right. So I tried to choose ones that were on Netflix so people could find them easier if anyone wants to watch it. There's one that I don't think is on Netflix, but the rest are. But for ones, I thought maybe they might like Evil Genius, which is on Netflix. It's about this woman who had this whole like elaborate plan for kind of like a bank heist, but it turned into like this whole murder thing, but it was crazy. And so I just thought like, since ones are so motivated to live the right way and things like that, I just felt like they would love watching and critiquing this woman and all of her like decisions. and just like, cause she did some really off the wall stuff. And it was just like, where did that come from? And I don't know. I just thought ones might enjoy looking at that. It's like, wow, this is really nuts. I can't believe that she would like, do this, you know, that she would do
setting their inner critic loose on this lady.
Exactly. Yes, like they would just set the inner critic to go on this one woman, and it would just be, I feel like they'd enjoy that a lot.
And And what about number two?
Twos were a little bit harder, but I chose Killer Women, which is on Netflix. Okay. Because they go into the women's, like, life stories and their backstories of the crime and things like that. And I kind of thought that twos might want to empathize with them because it's kind of like their life story and how they got to this point, because they go into the backstory more than some of the other ones do.
I think that...
Killer Women for twos.
That's spot on. I feel like my favorite Harry Potter book is the sixth one because it goes into, like, Voldemort's whole, like, life and his backstory, and that's why I love it. So I think you're right about that.
Yes. I had a suggestion for two. This I got really excited when I found out this one. It might only be on Netflix, I mean on HBO, but it's called Mommy, Dead, and Dearest.
Oh, I've never heard of that one.
And it is, I will just say, it's about like Munchausen
syndrome?
Munchausen by proxy, I guess.
By proxy, yep.
Yeah. And that feels very two to me, where you're like known for taking care of someone, and that is you make them sick so that they can take care of them.
Okay.
Yeah. What about number three?
For threes, I chose Wild Wild Country, which was really popular on Netflix a few months ago.
Yep.
A coworker actually told me to watch that one, and I didn't think it would be something I was into at first because it wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't as crime-ish. Like, it wasn't as direct. Like, okay, like, somebody died and here's how they solved the crime
it's
kind
a
of
cult.
Thing. But for... Right, it's a cult. And so I chose it for threes because it was just really impressive to me watching it. It was just impressive and disturbing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they built this empire. Like, yes, it was a cult. Yeah. We acknowledge that. But it was still an empire, you know? And so I feel like threes would love that and they would just be really impressed with it. We would just have to convince all of our three friends to not go try and be a cult leader like this guy and like get all this power and influence, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but that central character, that lady, is totally a three. It feels like.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Sheila was like, her name. Sheila. I think.
Yeah. Sheila.
Sheila.
That's right. I feel like four in some ways is like easy. I don't know.
Anything.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I did feel like fours would probably like crime docs. It was hard to pick one for them. I actually picked for fours. I picked the show that I'm watching right now, and I'm actually really enjoying it. It's called Encounters with Evil, but that one's on Netflix too. But it's super disturbing. But I thought that fours might like it because it's not your ordinary crime show. Kind of like it's different types of crimes and killers. Like it's bi topic sort of. Just because it's different, and there's a lot of feelings involved. Like every time I watch an episode, I feel like the producers just got together and said, like, how sad and how detailed can we make this? Like that was the production strategy. It was like, how sad can this possibly be?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe fours can feel their feelings, and then it's not your ordinary crime show, so it's better than what everybody else is watching.
Awesome. And what about you? What about number five?
Yes. So my fives. I chose my favorite because I feel like they might like it too. But Forensic Files has been on for forever. I mean, it used to be on TV, but it has had so many seasons. But for fives, Forensic Files really, it hits all the knowledge points. Like who did it, what they did, how they did it, how forensic science solved it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they try not to give you too much because they don't really need us going and building bombs exactly how this person did it or something like that. But they get super close.
Making your formulas for how to commit crimes.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, if you watch enough Forensic Files, like I have watched every single episode and I ran out and I didn't know what to do with my life, you could probably really know how to get away with the perfect crime. You really could. So it gives you all the knowledge points. So that's why I chose Forensic Files for fives.
That's great.
Awesome.
You can know all the things.
Number six.
This is
hard. They're going to be scared.
I know, so hard. I know, and then I'm going to scare everyone with all these. don't at me. Cold Justice is what I chose for sixes. That one's on Netflix too, but it's modern and practical. So I was thinking about sixes. Like I think I'm suspecting that my mom is a six because they're really practical and they kind of want to know like how to prevent the bad things or they think everything is going to be bad. And so I was thinking that sixes could learn what not to do and how to not get murdered because they go into the details. It's just really practical.
Yes. So that's perfect.
So Cold Justice is all about how not to get murdered?
Well, because they're trying to solve like old crimes, but just the way they go about it is not the typical route. Like they're actually going around and like talking to people and interviewing, like re-interviewing people who might have known about the crime like 20 years ago, and they lay it all out on a board kind of. Every time I see it, it's just kind of like the way they go into the details of it. It's like, okay, well, if this person had kind of skipped this step in their life, or they had not talked to this person, or like this one thing, like you kind of get these steps, like maybe they would still be alive kind of thing. So I thought that sixes might be taking notes or something like that.
Man, that is intense. Yeah. That is going to create unhealthy.
I mean, yeah, have to say, like, real talk. Sixes shouldn't watch crime documentaries. Like, I don't recommend that to sixes. Right. I can't, in good conscience, tell you to watch that if you're a six.
We should do a disclaimer before this segment, like, just add it in. Like, maybe.
Well, here's the disclaimer, right? We got to six and we just said the real answer is nothing.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. For sixes, my recommendation is don't.
Yeah, definitely. Though I will, I guess this is a good time to recommend that one Netflix spoof crime doc. What is it called? American Vandal.
My dad keeps telling me to watch that.
You guys have to check it out.
Okay.
It is seriously way better than you think it's going
to
be.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure I will, because I'm going to run out of things to watch eventually. I mean, I keep finishing a show that I like, and then I'm wringing my hands. So.
Yeah, it's good. it's good for sixes because it's the same thing. It lowers the stakes a little bit, which is
okay,
nice.
Okay,
that makes me feel better.
All right.
What about sevens?
Okay, for sevens, I recommended The People versus O.J. Simpson, and I'm counting this one as a crime doc. I don't care.
Yeah, sure.
That's great. That is really good.
It's more fun because it was more TV drama style. And so, like, I feel like it was okay. Well, this is probably telling more about myself than I would want to, but here we are. I watched The People versus O.J. Simpson during a time where I was actually trying to avoid pain because it was like so crazy and up and down, and I got really into it.
Yeah,
and so, like, I didn't want to think about like how my life was going or anything, and I was waiting for some decisions and things like that. And so, I watched this, and it just kept me from. Yeah, I was able to avoid that pain. And so I know that I have a seven friend, and she talks about like doing, you know, getting into like things that are fun to try to avoid pain. So that was my suggestion for them.
Yeah.
But it's still a crime doc. I mean, technically. So
yeah,
I would say so.
That's a great choice. A good choice. I love it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that show.
What about eights?
Okay. So for eights, this one was probably harder for me than it should have been, but I recommend it Women Behind Bars, which is on Netflix too, just because it's super in-depth. When I think of eights, I think of all the eight women I know, and they examine the crimes like really in-depth in these shows. And so it goes into a lot of situations where the woman might have been a victim in some ways too, like domestic violence or something like that. And so I just really thought that I thought of the eights in my life, like standing up for them and empathizing with them, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah, that one was harder.
Yeah, I was thinking about those crime documentaries where you really want to advocate for that person. Right. Or you're watching someone advocate. The one I watched most recently, there's that one called The Staircase. And it's all centered around the lawyers.
Oh, that's on my list.
Oh, my gosh. It is a very long miniseries. And it's great. And it's hard. It's like got one of the most like unlikable protagonists ever. Mm-hmm. But you also like just get the sense that something wrong is going on here, and that like someone needs to fight for this guy, even though he's like super unlikable. He's like a rich white guy who has everything he wants, and he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
that's my eight recommendation. I thought that would be a good eight one because you just watch a solid like advocate going at it for this guy, which is really cool to watch. Yeah.
For sure. What That's a good one. Okay, so
I feel like
one,
nine is a really hard
one. That one was super hard, and my first thought was, I can't imagine any of the nines that I know would willingly choose a crime documentary. Like, I feel like it would have to be a situation where someone is like, I don't know, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to watch? And they, you know, kind of agree to it sort of thing.
Yes.
But I just can't imagine a nine, like, willingly choosing a crime documentary. But I recommended Cold Case Files, which is the only one on this list that's not on Netflix. I don't even remember where I watched it, but I really loved it. But with Cold Case Files, they are all kind of, like, working together to try to reconcile something. And then at the end, just the way that they told the story, there's always kind of a happy as possible ending, as it can be, you know.
Oh,
and
there
so
you go.
I feel like that would kind of give the nine some solace a little bit, you know. Yes. Like, okay, well, the family at the end, they got justice after waiting 20 years to find out what happened to their loved one. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said Cold Case Files for that one. And it's not, it, awesome. I remember it not being as gory or detailed as some of the other ones are. So.
That's good.
Well, everyone get out there and watch some murders. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've given you what you need now to go
murder
check it
documentaries.
Out.
Not murders.
Some, that's what I meant.
Right. Obviously. Like, no, don't go to any live shows.
Performance art.
Oh, gosh.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Murder is bad. Okay, so our next segment is we changed it because we...
You don't have to say that we changed one that was, it.
We started one that was of bad taste, and we decided to do a better one that is not going to hurt people's feelings or make people mad.
Hopefully.
So this segment is, hopefully, this segment is called Nine Ways to Get Away with a Crime. Every Enneagram type has a specific way it gets away with crime when it does a crime. So we're going to talk about all the ways that they would get away with a crime. A one... I'll start. A one would just like do the crime so well. A one would do the crime like super by the book and would literally make no mistakes and it would be fine. They wear gloves the whole time and they probably just like get away with it.
Yeah.
And that's it. Bethany, what about twos?
Sorry. Well, no one is going to suspect that a two has committed a crime because we're too sweet and nice. So
they just coast.
Yeah,
they like
coast.
Do it in
nobody,
broad daylight.
Yeah. Nobody suspects anything of them while they're doing it, after they've done it. They'll just fly under the radar.
They just like, they're holding another lady's purse and they're like, oh, what a cute dog. And they start petting it. And the guy's like, yeah, I love my dog. And then that's it.
Exactly.
Cool. Shannon, what about threes?
Oh, threes. I think threes would probably get away with a crime by saying how unsuccessful they feel like the crime was and how they would have done it so much better. Like, they just be like, those idiots, like, if I had done this crime, I would have done this and I would have done that. Like, who would commit a crime like this way, you know?
I love that. That's
beautiful.
Like a competitive crime, like crime spree, you know? Like, it's just like, I would have done it so much better than this. Like, there's no way I would have done it that way, so it couldn't have been me.
Yeah.
That is hilarious, but it also makes me think of that they definitely get caught because they can't not take credit for
that. Oh, that's awesome, true. Like, if it comes up in the news and someone's talking about how successful the crime was, they're going to go confess immediately.
That's true. Just
totally.
To get the credit.
All right. Well, fours, I feel like, just make everyone feel so bad for them that they're like, they probably should have done the crime.
What? Oh, yeah.
Like, their life's pretty hard, and like, they were in a unique situation, and I mean, if anyone should have done that crime, it's the four.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. What about fives, Bethany?
Okay. Well, dang, I feel like it's kind of similar to ones where they just would have researched the heck out of it before they did it. They
Google search how to get away with
the crimes. They have like all of the contingency plans, like every detail is planned out.
Yeah, I think there's more planning with a five.
It's
compared
premeditated.
To a one
for
like
sure.
Gets it right in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
In retrospect, maybe a one does a crime like everyone thinks should have happened in the first place. Like the way they get away with a crime is like they release all the animals at an animal killing place.
Yeah,
you know, like one of those episodes of Saved by the Bell where like Jesse Spano, right? That's her. She's the kind of person who does a one crime.
I'm way ahead, but I as soon as you said that, I was like, I could see my nine friends doing that. Like, that would be the crime. Like, it's like a crime where it's like, I'm helping humanity, I'm helping animals. So mm-hmm. it was it really that bad?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. What about sixes, Shannon?
Sixes, I think, would claim self-defense. Totally. Like, yes. I feel like sixes would be like, I was protecting everyone, you're welcome.
Yes.
Or I was protecting myself by committing this crime or something like that. And so I did it for your own best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I broke the window because of this reason or whatever. You know, I think they would claim self-defense or that they were justified.
Yes, accurate. Yep,
I agree with that. Sevens. Sevens would claim ignorance. Like, they would be like, wait, I can't do that?
Oh, yeah. There's a law like, that says that's illegal? Can't do that?
Yeah. How is that illegal? It was really cool and fun. I don't understand the problem here.
Yes.
I actually think this is working really well with the vagueness. Like, I'm really enjoying the vagueness. Anyway. If people are getting offended by it, it's their own fault. They're filling in the blanks.
Yes.
Anyway. Right. Like we didn't say what sevens would do. They broke into the skating rink. Hello, you know.
Yeah, I was literally imagining them like
they're going 95 miles per hour in a 55 zone.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Bethany.
Eight.
What about an eight?
Gosh. How does an
This is easy, I think.
Oh. I was thinking it's hard because I feel like they would just get caught in the heat of the moment, whatever crime they're doing. But what do you think?
Maybe you're right. I don't know. I think it's the same. It's like they're claiming others' defense, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're claiming that they were doing it because they were messing and they did the crime because they were messing with my little brother.
I have actually had an eight say that pretty much verbatim to me. That's when
I did the crime because they were messing with my brother.
I don't know if they actually committed a crime, but that's what they said would be the situation where they their challengerness comes out more is when someone messes with their younger sibling.
Yeah.
Yes. Totally. Yes. Like they said that verbatim.
That's funny.
Yep.
Okay.
Shannon, what about nines? You already said nines, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I still feel like that was a really good interpretation of nines. Like, I still feel like nines, like if something is disrupting their harmony and like disrupting their peace and they don't feel great about it and they had to commit a crime to like restore peace on earth. Ooh. I really feel like that's what
you
they
know
would do.
What nines could do, they can just blame it on someone else, like, and just because they were just merging with someone when they committed the crime. Like, they were just going along with what someone else was doing. They weren't really doing it themselves. And so they just pin it on someone else.
Oh, I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for our next segment. It's called Can We Make Enneagram Slang Happen? Well, I think Eninum is caught on already. That's already, I've seen that. I think
hundreds
Trump tweeted
of people
that.
Eninum. Are using Eninum. Eninum.
And then Eneafam is definitely in the lexicon. Mm-hmm. Enea Slam is a solid one we figured out.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, Enea Slam is the best one, I think. And then Enea Glam, which Shannon, you would know a little bit about Enea Glam since you have a fashion background.
I feel like I need
background.
To add it to my bio, actually.
Hey, could you, hey,
you
maybe.
Should.
My Enea Glam number is 5.
Yeah, and you need to we need to get together for a bonus episode about a Enneaglam bonus episode one time about which statement earrings for each type.
Oh, that's funny. Like who even wants to make a
so
statement?
So specific.
I feel like our audience would like it.
Yeah.
Which is to say all of the women that listen to our podcast.
Right, AKA our entire audience.
Our entire audience.
is that what the numbers say?
It leans pretty heavily female.
Yeah,
that's
for
funny.
Whatever reason.
Yep.
I don't know, guys.
I don't know. Guys, if you're out there.
Yeah, well, guys, where my bros up. At? Yeah. Represent.
Oh, my God.
Speak up.
All right. Well, Bethany, what do we have a submission?
Okay, we had another submission, which, by the way, I love that this segment started out with just Richard, like, saying ridiculous things that everyone rolled their eyes at, and now people tweet us.
Wait, hold on. When was everyone rolling their eyes at my suggestions?
Since the beginning.
Whatever.
Sorry, but Yeah, but now people are coming up with some really good stuff, and I'm enjoying it. So,
it's good.
Becca M on Twitter, at Becca in class, she recommended Any Evangelist, someone who shares the good news of the Enneagram.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And also,
I like that.
I love that.
Any Apologist, someone who defends the legitimacy / value of the Enneagram to non-believers.
Okay, well, now I know what I'm getting two of my coworkers for Christmas. I'm getting them like shirts or badges or something.
Oh my gosh.
Nice, for yeah. Any Evangelist.
Yes.
And what was the other one?
Any Apologist.
Yes, because they just did both of those today.
Yeah.
To other
I do both awesome. Of those things like way too much.
Yeah, me See? Too. I like Any Apologist better than Any Evangelist, mm-hmm. only because I feel like it's a better like word fit, right? Like it flows a little better. And also, I think Any Evangelist is a little like it just creeps me out.
You don't like to share the good news of the Enneagram with new See, people who have never heard
when you
it
call
before?
It the good news of the Enneagram, that just—that's not even true, Bethany. It's terrible
it kind
news.
Of is, yeah.
It literally starts with like, which one of the ways that you are terrible do you most relate with?
Right.
Yes, but there's hope.
It's like, do you want all of the bad things about yourself laid out so you can grow?
Yeah.
Yes-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then now I think about it, that's kind of how regular evangelism works.
I was
too,
just
so.
Going to say, like,
actually
but
true.
The gospel starts with some bad news, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're a sinner. We're yeah. all sinners.
It's really the same thing if you think about it. Maybe we should just make a gospel track with the Enneagram.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Agreed.
And that...
Shannon's uncomfortable.
Uh-oh. Well, the five in me is just like, you know what? Like, that would actually help explain it to people better, you know?
Yes.
Like, get it all, lay it all out on the table,
yes.
put all the
yep.
research on it, mm-hmm. you know? And
well,
then if they still say no, then we try.
If you tell someone they're a sinner, they're like, they're going to say one of two things, like, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to say, yeah, I know, that's fine. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really get it until you start saying, no, but for real, like, sometimes you are self-involved and withdraw
yeah.
out of fear and, I don't know, like, when you help people, like, you expect something in return.
Yeah, you literally...
if you don't get it, you feel like you deserve
yeah,
it or entitled to it.
You do things to make people love you.
Yeah. You manipulate people.
Yeah.
Sometimes... like, I feel like if you started just, like, getting real specific about their personality type
mm-hmm.
and why and the specific ways they sin, they're like, please give me Jesus.
Yes.
Good strategy.
Last segment. This is called Life Advice. Shannon, I know we've helped you enough.
you helped me decide what to wear tomorrow, sort of.
That's true. But this is the specific part of the show where we give you life advice through the lens of the Enneagram because we're not experts, but
right.
we are obsessed.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Good enough, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there something we can help you with?
Okay, every time I think of advice for fives, every Enneagram mm-hmm. podcast or Enneagram book, they always just say... fives need to learn how to get out of your head
mm-hmm.
or something like that or like express
yeah.
yourself to other people, you know, like feel your feelings instead of thinking them or something.
Yeah.
And I'm always so dumbfounded by that. I'm like, but how?
Oh.
Like, how do
yeah.
I get out of my head? Like, where am I gonna go?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I don't know. I look like I live in my head, like everything, you know, analytical, very. I had a friend call me calculated one time, which was very offensive.
Mm.
But then I was like, you know what? She's probably kind of right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like calculated is that term for fives that's like too emotional for fours or intense for fours. It's like
yeah.
the trigger word.
Right, I was like, oh, wow. Probably because of all the crime docs. When I think calculated, I think of like cold calculated
oh, yeah.
like killer or something.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, but I was like, no, that's actually pretty accurate because I am very calculated with all decisions or all thoughts or anything like that. So it makes sense. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, I guess my... question is if you know how one can get out of their head and
mm-hmm.
where I would go I could
where do you go walk down
I actually have an answer to this because
oh, okay.
I have struggled with being in my head
Are you a five wing?
I am not, weirdly. Oh, okay. It's just a thing for me. I don't know. I'm self-conscious, I guess. So yeah, that's a big part of it. And I have low self-confidence. Low confidence? I don't have good confidence. I don't know how to say that.
Confidence in yourself?
I've always struggled with confidence in myself. So I'll tell you what is all about getting out of your head. Like, you have to do it in order to succeed. And as a result, it's all about learning how to do it. And everyone knows what I'm going to say here, I think. But it's improv.
I knew it.
You have to do improv. You just have to. Just give it a try. Take a beginner's class. You'll be in there with a lot of other people who are freaked out too. And it'll be a really great, like, they will train you how to live your life in a way that gets you out of your head a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And it's genuinely useful and helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm like sitting over here going, wow. Well, partially because I'm Southern and I have to interject with like, you know, but I'm just like, this is not the first time I've heard that.
Really?
Like, I think I had a counselor tell me that would probably be good for me, which is funny. Like, I had a counselor one time say that improv would probably be good for someone like me to just, I mean, basically what you said, to like not be able to think about it and kind of just have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
Richard, is that why you started improv? Did a counselor tell you that?
The counselor didn't tell me, but it was a very big part. That problem in particular was a very big reason.
Okay.
I went, because I'm an editor by trade.
Yeah.
And editing can put you in your head, like, because you're constantly trying to let you stop and think and improve on something as it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like bad for you in the long run.
That makes sense. So, I mean, in my line of work too, I can totally see that happening.
Yep.
So that helps. I should think of it, especially now that I'm in Atlanta. I'm sure I won't have any trouble finding.
Yeah, I was actually going to say there's probably actually a really awesome improv scene in Atlanta.
Okay. Well, I'll get to researching on that. See what
Sweet. If nothing else, just read a couple improv books and like try to apply those principles to your
life.
Day. Okay. Well, Bethany said I can't buy any.
Right.
Oh well.
Yeah. Well,
Bethany, did you have some?
Yeah, I mean, my advice was, I was just going to say, like, talk to people more. I mean, I have several five friends and five family members, like my dad and brother, like I've mentioned, are fives. And I feel like what has happened in my friendships with those people is because I am such an extreme verbal processor. Like, I don't understand having the ability to process something just in your head. I just don't. Like, I don't even understand that. But what happens is because I'm always verbally processing everything in my life with them, then they do that in return. And just over time, we have, like, I have friendships with these fives where they share a lot of things with me. And I feel like it's really good for them. They may not need to share it with somebody, but it ends up being good for them because somebody else knows and somebody else can speak into whatever they're, like, overthinking or stuck in their head about.
And I'm sure, like, a lot of fives, I know I can be very black and white thinkers. And so if they think like, oh, well, I have to tell someone something, they think maybe I have to share this with everyone. But for a five, it might just come down to if you just have one good friend that you feel comfortable talking to and just expressing things to. Like, you don't have to tell the whole world, but just don't be, I guess I'm giving the advice at this point, but it's like, kinda like don't be a slave to like figuring out, like thinking you have to have everything figured out before you can reveal it to anyone.
Yes.
I think that's kind of what we tend to do. It's like, I'll think about it and that's how we are in our head, because I can't understand, like you said, with you don't understand internal processors, but the idea of like verbally processing something to someone terrifies me. You know, like, I don't understand. Like, I do have a lot of friends who are verbal processors, and I'm looking at them like, I can't imagine, like, I'll talk to you, but I was like, I just can't imagine going to somebody with a problem that I have not
you
even
haven't
remotely
thought through.
Like, right. Like, I haven't thought through this, and I just can't even imagine going to someone with, so.
I have a five friend that I would verbally process with, and it was, every time, it was like he was watching a car wreck happen. in front of his eyes.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's funny. Yeah, so what I tend to do, which I, now that we've talked, based on what Bethany said, I should probably go a stage before that. But what I tend to do is I'll call like a close friend of mine who has a pretty similar personality. I don't think she's a 5 on the Enneagram, but we have like the same Myers-Briggs and everything. But I'll call her and basically I'm like, okay, so here's what I found and here's my problem. And I think I'm going to do A, B, and C. But tell me if you think that I should do B first or C first.
Oh
like, I've already had what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm not processing it with her. Mm-hmm. I'm barely even asking for your opinion. I'm just saying that this is what I have, you know, and I'm just like kind of letting you know. And you just tell me that if this is going to make me sound silly or if this is going to make me look dumb or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we could probably stand to take it a step earlier than that for fives. That might be the challenge for fives.
Yeah.
That's the end of the show, I think.
Oh, before we go, shout out to Kelsey Fong. Oh.
Wow, did you fail it?
Okay, listen. I need to explain why this is so weird and awkward that I'm doing this now. Kelsey, my friend and coworker.
I just want to clarify for everyone. This was supposed to happen at the top of the show.
And then it just didn't, okay?
And then the show ended. And then Bethany said, oh, wait.
We had a weird beginning to this show. I didn't feel like it was a good time. Anyway, okay. Kelsey, she named our podcast. She came up with No Chill Enneagram, and I was supposed to shout her out a long time ago for that. And
Yay, Kelsey.
I did, but then we ended up not using that episode. So thanks, Kelsey. You're the best.
Thanks, Kelsey. I'm incredibly grateful.
Me too.
To Kelsey. How much do we owe her?
We owe her a shout out.
Thanks, Kelsey, for making this show wouldn't exist without
truly. Yes,
it would just be called. What was the other? Can we talk briefly about the other names we
had? Yeah, sure. I think your first idea was like, oh my gosh, shut up about the Enneagram already. The world's longest title.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
That is very long.
All of my ideas were incredibly long titles. Yeah. They were things like, I think the what our like top of the show description is, I think that's basically used to be what the title was supposed to be like.
Yeah.
A show about the Enneagram where we get it all out of our system or something.
Yeah. Basically 10 times longer than it needs to be.
It was pretty clear when we heard No Chill Enneagram that was the one. It was love at first
sight. We also threw around like the irresponsible Enneagram, which would be pretty accurate.
Right.
Like extremely accurate.
Yeah, but then that makes it feel like there's high stakes and there really are.
Yeah, true.
Anyways, thanks everyone. Like get out there and do some crimes.
Yes.
Or not. We're looking at you, sixes.
Yeah,
don't do crimes. No. Don't do the crimes. Sixes especially. Try actively not to do crimes.
Yeah.
Sevens too. You guys both need to really try not to do crimes.
Yeah.
This has been No Chill Enneagram. It is hosted and produced by Richard Clark and Bethany Perkins. Edited by Richard Clark. Theme music is Max Flashback by Lee Rosevere. We want to hear from you. If you're an Enneagram number 9, 4, 2, or 7, feel free to leave a review on iTunes. If you are a 6, please only do this if you trust us. If you are an 8 or a 1, please do not leave us a review on iTunes. But you can feel free to reach out to us on Twitter, for we'd love to be challenged by you or hear from your overflowing inner critic. Our Twitter handle is @NoChillEnneapod. That's @NoChillEnneapod. Enneagram number 5s, please include us in your next exhaustive list of hilarious podcasts. And 3s, you can just give us credit after we inspire you to do whatever amazing thing you're going to do next. If you are a number 1 through 9 and you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast wherever podcasts are subscribable.